Hav, I got a good story for you today. You're going to learn the legend. And I, by the way, 100% still do not believe this story, of a gentleman whose name is Jonathan Efferby. And Efferby is obviously being edited for your ear's sake. But Jonathan Efferby, like, I want you to take a couple seconds in a moment in Kramer history later on the show and tell me, do you really believe this story? And we'll get into it today on the show. Hi.
Hi, my name's Kramer, and I am proud to admit that I am a mama's boy.
You're not just any mama's boy. You're a certified mama's boy. And this is the Certified Mama's Boy Podcast.
What's up? Welcome to the Certified Mama's Boy Podcast. This is a podcast that's based in three principles. Live, laugh, love your mom. That means we live our lives out loud, we laugh a lot, and we love my mom, my co-host, Nancy Yancey. Hi, Mom.
Hi, honey.
Well, my mom may be the only person in America, at least, to DVR the funeral of Queen Elizabeth. She just told me she sat down to watch it today, and I was like, wait a minute, I thought it was yesterday. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't realize you had actually gone and, you know, taped it,
recorded,
I guess.
It. Mm-hmm.
I got some numbers on it if you'd like them.
Mm, let's hear it.
It was billions of people that actually watched it.
Mm.
Estimate somewhere between 4.1 and 7.7 billion people worldwide watched the funeral this week, which is like crazy. Remember I told you, I was like, does anybody even care about this? Is it even like a big deal? Mm-hmm. I mean, damn, 4.1 to 7 million. And by the way, that is a huge span.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like 4 to 7, it's not like it's like 4.1 to 4.5 billion. It's 4.1 to 7.7 billion.
Well, it's
like,
hard to
narrow
estimate
that in a little bit, you know?
It's probably hard to estimate how many.
Few more notes. And we don't usually talk about news during the week, but I do want to, this will transition to something else here in a second. News is talking about how, unlike any modern event in history played out in London yesterday, Queen Elizabeth II, it took place. The service was at Westminster Abbey and was attended by an estimated 2,000 people, including heads of state and member of the royal family. Nearly a million people lined the street, by the way, which is,
yes,
I believe it. It was packed.
Oh, they were 15 to 20 feet deep for as far as you could see for miles.
It was crazy. So yeah, you can just, if you didn't watch it, that's really what they did. I mean, it was just like, it was, I've never seen anything like it. Now, it was on all day Monday. So this is now 2 days, obviously, all day Monday morning. It started like 6 a.m. our time. And it was still going, I think, by the time I left. It was like noon or maybe even afternoon. And like, it was still this whole procession, you know, and ceremony and funeral and what's going on. Mom, you watched it. You DVR'd it. You had to go back and watch it. What were your thoughts?
I recorded it and it said it was 9 hours.
Yeah,
I
believe it.
5 o'clock. So
yeah.
I guess that it was broadcast that long. Yes, of course, I loved it. I love all the pomp and circumstance and the royalty. I love all of that. And of course, I loved the Anglican service, because it's so near and dear to my heart as an Episcopalian.
I loved
it. And I thought, you know, how amazing that woman is, that so many people felt connected to her.
Yeah.
To come out,
I mean, obviously,
in droves.
I was wrong.
Just,
you know,
millions.
Yeah, I mean,
only you.
4.1 to 7.7 billion people watched that. That is crazy to me. That's like an insane amount of people. Mm-hmm. But let's compare that to like just, I don't know, like what, like the Super Bowl. How many people watch the Super Bowl? How many people watch the Super Bowl? Just to give us like a comparison point here. That's 112 million people watch it. Okay, so this is 4 to 7 billion people watched it. Let's do like, how about the World Cup, something that's a little bit more international. How many people watched the World Cup? Now that, by the way, was 5 billion people.
Wow.
Jeez.
So somewhere in the same range. That's crazy.
That is crazy. I always forget how big soccer is everywhere, you know, but here. But anyway, my mom told me, I didn't realize this, that she planned 100% of her own funeral.
Yes.
And how did you, what do you know about that?
Well, you know, that's all I really know, is that they said that she had planned every minute of that service, of of all the processions, of where they would be. And of course, you know, she went to Balmoral, to Scotland, which is where she wanted to die. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that, I'm not sure, but I suspect she was helped along with that. When they say she died peacefully, I suspect that she said, it's time, you know,
right.
And she, right. And she died, and, you know, just all everything that happened in Scotland, everything that happened in London, everything that happened in Windsor, I mean, everywhere, Edinburgh, everywhere, she planned all of that, which so I think is just remarkable. I mean, I'm sure there's certain protocol that, you know, she followed. Without
I'm sure she couldn't be like, I want Post Malone to come perform.
I'm sure there was a lot of protocol, but like, you know, she chose the hymns they sang.
Let me ask the question then. If you could plan your own funeral, not to get too morbid here, but if you could plan your own funeral, what would you want it to be? Do you, I guess people don't really plan their own funerals, do you? Not typically, right? The family typically puts the service together.
Yeah, most of the time, but I have known people that have done it. And I'll tell you, those people that have done that ahead of time for their family, it has been a tremendous blessing.
Mm-hmm.
A tremendous blessing. I would like to think I could do that. And I have some notes of things like hymns that I enjoy and, you know.
Well, you want your perfect funeral to look like? If money and like – location and anything else was like no object.
Mm-hmm.
What would you?
Money. Wouldn't
what would
matter.
You want your funeral to look like?
Well, if I were to die today, and I say
that not,
because
way, not for a very long
change.
Time,
I would be buried in the Episcopal Church, and I would be in the I would be at Christ Church in Norcross, and I would be in their memorial.
That's the church
garden.
That we grew up going to. Now, why there? Why of all places there? It's so far away from everybody.
Because, you know, I mean, who goes to grave sites? You know, that's always so. That's such a crazy thought to me. Because, I mean, how many times have I gone to my parents' grave site? Maybe twice.
Right.
You know. And the whole time they've been gone. How many times have we gone to your grand's gravesite? None.
I've been there once, I think.
You went once?
Yeah.
Well, that's
post-funeral,
probably one
I
more
think
time
I,
than
yeah.
everybody else
maybe.
In the family.
Yeah. Maybe. But I, you know, I don't know. I don't know that most people do. Some people do go visit gravesites a lot, you know?
Well, I know. I mean, it used to be a tradition. I mean,
right.
My goodness,
but how often do the Yanceys do it? Not that often.
No, and I don't think most people do. Most people that I know don't go to visit a grave site.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't think that really matters. And I mean, honestly, once you've died, it's your memory that lives on. It's not a place where your remains are. Right.
Right. Yeah.
So, and of course, the Episcopal service is the same all over the world. It's, you know, it's right out of the Book of Common Prayer, and it's beautiful, and you have some choices of scripture and some choices of hymns, which is what I would probably put in place myself.
So traditional.
But then the rest of it is just, yeah, it's tradition, you know?
Why do I want nothing like that at all?
Because
like I want y'all to stuff me and like put me next to Kiki and just like sit me up on the chair and tell me how great I am every day. No, I mean like I don't want all that. Like I just don't want that. Like I would I guess I would want to be, I don't even know. Like y'all can just leave me in front of the TV if you want to with my Nintendo in my hand. Like I'd be happy.
Oh, we'll just have a little like, urn. We'll just have a little urn with a Nintendo. We'll have a little
Nintendo
Super Mario urn
face on
made.
It. Let me see. You know what? Let's Google and see if they have a Super Nintendo. Nintendo urn.
Jeez.
No, they don't. They have a slot machine urn though, but they don't have a Nintendo one. So we'd have to get custom made, obviously. Oh no, wait, there is a what's the little vase thing? Is that the urn? Yeah. So they do have one. Forgive me. They do have a Nintendo urn. Gaming urn is what it's called.
Oh my.
So you can just put me in there if you want to. That's fine.
Okay. Yeah, do you want to be cremated? I mean, you know, I've just now recently learned that cremation is really bad for the environment.
It freaks me out.
All the gases and everything.
It freaks me out a little bit, you know, like I don't know.
It's a lot.
I guess I don't really have a huge preference of what happens to me. Is that weird too? Like I kind of like if you wanted to like take my ashes and put them in Hawaii somewhere, that'd be kind of cool.
You just know, put them in the ocean.
Bit in my Nintendo urn and then put a little bit in my, over in Hawaii. And, and I thought that'd be solid, you know,
a lot of people do that. They separate the ashes and put them in different places.
Yeah. I don't know if you've thought about it much, like what would you really want your funeral to be like? I mean, if you could like literally do it, this actually would be kind of interesting to read the comments on the Certified Fans page. If you want to call us, like, what would you really want your funeral to be like? Have you like, it, like, don't, it doesn't have to be, you know, you can, the sky's the limit. Do what you will.
Yes.
And,
Would you want a Queen Elizabeth II funeral?
Yeah. Would you want like a 6-hour? I mean, what do you want? What would you want? Okay, let's do Mom Tent. This is our weekly segment we call Mom Tent. My mom, when we first started the show, she used to send me a bunch of articles every day to talk about. And I was like, this is a lot. So I said, listen, every Wednesday, bring your favorite article that you saw on the internet this week. And we will discuss in a segment that we do called Mom Tent. So it's like my mom's content. Get it? You know why it's called Mom's Tent? I think some people think it's like a tent, like we're in your tent with my mom. They're like content, but it's Mom Tent. It doesn't really quite rhyme, but you know. It's a free podcast. What do you want?
Yeah.
Mom, what you got?
It's from Women's Health, and it's an article by, from Dr. Bruce Lee about why we should all do a friend's cleanse.
Are you far away from the microphone right now?
I am. Sorry.
Okay. Thought so.
Okay.
And she's back. Okay.
Now
a friend cleanse.
Friend cleanse.
Okay.
And there are actually 10 questions that you should ask about each of your friends. And if the answer to at least one is yes, then it's time to consider cleansing that person from your circle of friends.
Wow.
In other words, it's like you clear out the clutter of your life.
So only one. It's one strike, you're out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Leaves you more time and energy to dedicate to worthwhile relationships and experiences.
All right. Okay.
So here's the friend quiz. And you know, when I read this, I had to turn it around on myself and ask myself if I'd been a good friend. So
it could
go either way, actually.
The friend audit. How many of your friends would actually make it through this friend audit? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Have they been there for me when I reached out during the tougher moments of my life?
That's true. Okay.
Yeah.
That's honestly important. Like divorce will do that to you. It's really interesting to see like how not only that, but job loss. I can always weed a lot of friends out when I change jobs or lose my job or whatever, because it's like which people are still there on the aftermath is pretty interesting to me. It's always very interesting to me, actually, of who keeps up with you and who doesn't, you know?
Yes, and who goes with which partner?
Yep.
Like if you have a couple friends, who ends up hanging out with the male and female? I've always thought that was interesting too. And that's a bad dilemma to be in. We've been in that situation, you know, where you're connected to both. Were they judgmental when I revealed that I was going through tough times? Well,
yeah.
I think perhaps I may have been.
That you may have been judgmental?
Maybe.
And what do you think you may have been judgmental about? That doesn't seem like a very Nancy Yancy thing.
I know, but when I think about people that were going through tough times, and maybe I was too quick to, you know, not necessarily be judgmental, but to give advice based on the fact that I was judging them. You know?
That's interesting. Yeah. I think that's and listen, it can be hard. It can be hard when your friends do something that's disappointing, you know?
Yes.
To not feel a certain kind of way.
Right. You're judging them.
Perfect about it. Yeah. I don't know that I've even been perfect about it for sure. But it is. I mean, obviously, I think you know that some of your best friends, you could go to them and say, you know, whatever, you murdered somebody, and they'd still want to hear you out, you know?
Right. Exactly.
All right. What else?
Did they make an adequate effort to stay in touch?
Mm.
You know, every time.
Go ahead.
Every time I sit around and begrudge the fact that I don't have people to hang out with, I'm thinking, yes, I do. I just need to call them.
Right. You Sometimes know? You even wonder if it's you, right?
Uh-huh.
Again, moving will do that to you. It's very interesting when you move. Like, you really can weed out some friendships. But the cool thing with that is, like, the ones that stick around, solid, you know, super solid friendships.
Yes. Did they fail to make enough effort to really get to know me? Did they just want to hang out with you just to have something to do, or someone to go to the movies with, or someone to go to the bar with? Or did they really care about you? Did they really make an effort to get to know
That's interesting. You are? Yeah. Like we kind of talked about yesterday with a friendship. This may be too friendshipy of a week. But yeah, it's true. Like, which one of your friends are actually going to, you know, if you're not hanging out and doing something, like, were they still there for you? Or is it just some, you know, common thing you have that's just, you know, oh, we both like to drink or whatever, or go to the movies or whatever. Yeah.
Have they been open about themselves and their lives? Were they instead presenting a front or a charade to me?
Right.
I've had some friends that I know that's true. That's true up.
Sure.
They really didn't want me to know what was going on, but for some reason I already knew.
Yeah.
Did they fail to tell me or warn me about important things that I needed to know? That's a tough one.
That is tough. You know, I've always kind of struggled with that too, because I'm like, you know, if you find out, like when are you supposed to get involved in a situation, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when is that?
Yeah. When do you intervene when you see somebody in trouble?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did I wonder about what they were saying or doing behind my back? Man, those people are the worst. I mean, I can weed them out pretty quickly. When I don't trust someone and I think they're talking about me behind my back, no, done.
I mean, that's happened with basically every radio situation I've left from, you know, either my own behalf or somebody else's. The amount of rumors I hear about things that are being said when I'm not in the building is like pretty crazy. Like, it's just crazy how fast people will turn on you to kind of protect their own ego sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one's really crappy.
What number are we at?
8 of 10.
Okay.
Did they date my significant other while I was still with the significant other? Oh no.
Yeah, that's not, definitely, I don't know if that's even a friend. Well, that took a weird left turn. I feel like those other ones have been pretty insightful. I mean, yeah, I'd say. I'd say if someone's dated your significant other, it's probably
done.
It's probably time to
out.
Yeah.
Did they not seem to cherish our friendship? Did you not really maybe feel a value in the relationship?
Right.
That's something to think about.
Right.
And the last one is, did they not change any of the above behavior even when given the opportunity to do so? So that's hurtful. If you've been close to someone and you've told them that you're upset about your relationship with them for whatever reason, and then they don't change, or they don't, you know, do anything to try to remedy it.
Yeah.
They're not a true friend.
Well, I think you can look at this two ways, right? Like, you can look at it from the side of which one of your friends don't check off, or is it really only one? Kind of one of them, then you're out. I guess so. Mm-hmm. How many of your friends would actually make it through that checklist, honest to God? And then how many of your friendships would you make it through?
Right.
You know, like, exactly. On from the opposite side.
Yes.
And maybe it gives us like something to think about going into this Wednesday show of like, hey, what do we need to do to like get it together? You know?
Yeah. And we know that friendships are valuable. And we want them in our life.
Sure.
Then, you know, who are the people that we're befriending, and how are we as a friend?
Right. Yep. We've talked a lot about friendships this week, so hopefully you're taking maybe something away from it. All right, Mom, let's get to our quote for today.
Okay. It's Marcus Aurelius. It never ceases to amaze me. We all love ourselves more than other people, but care more about their opinion than our own. That's just the truth. That is just the truth. And we're so fast to think about and worry about what other people say and think.
Why is that? Why do we care about people's opinions so much, you think?
Because I think we're insecure.
We just need validation. I think, on some level, we're all seeking some type of validation, right?
Sure. Yes. Exactly.
On one level or another. Mm-hmm. And so I think that when you feel like you're not getting that validation,
right,
it can kind of feel upside down, right?
Yes.
It can kind of feel stressful upside down. Like, why is this not, you know, it's not a thing? Why is this not, you know? Exactly. I don't know. I think that's why I'm clearly not good at it. I do better when it comes to people I don't know, you know, mm-hmm. when it comes to like listeners.
Yes.
But not always. I would say still one comment a month probably gets me that I'm like, ugh.
Mm-hmm.
But how many people, you know, how many times do you find, and I used to listen, it was, I remember actually we can talk about Jeff Dollar here for a second. I used to email Jeff Dollar back in my Panama City days. I remember specifically emailing him. And I was just like, hey, because he's been my radio mentor for a while. And I was just like, hey, like, how do you handle this? Like every comment that would come across, like it would just completely shut me down.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like mm-hmm. no matter how small the comment was, like if somebody didn't like a segment, I was just, and like I was fried for the rest of the day. I must not know what I'm doing. I'm terrible. I'm this, I'm that. And I honestly, even when I started the podcast, I feel that way. I still feel some kind of certain way when certified fans leave. Like I still feel mm-hmm. like this, oh, you not like me, you know? So I guess that is what it is. Like we want the validation for people to like us.
We all want to be loved.
Sure. Yeah. You're right. That's really what it is.
We all want to be loved, you know?
Yeah. Right.
That's just our humanity.
But yeah. I swear to God, if you could break through that, and I'm not good at it. So don't. I'm not, you know, there's so many things to talk about in this podcast. I'm like, yeah, that's what you should do. But I have no idea how to do that. Mm-hmm. I think that you could really, really make some significant changes
mm-hmm.
in your overall well-being, you know? So,
absolutely.
You know, what you could start to learn how to do that is on BetterHelp. Mm. BetterHelp, now a word from our sponsors, who is BetterHelp. BetterHelp is online therapy and counseling that I do. I've been a big fan of therapy. I mean, honestly, I was a big fan of therapy before I started using BetterHelp. But what I didn't like about it was I'd find myself with traditional therapy having really carved out a lot of time. And like when I had more time, it was, you know, less of an issue. But now that my time is tight, like everybody else's, BetterHelp online therapy is amazing because you can hop on with your therapist, you know, qualified. And we're talking like just real therapist, licensed therapist, that you get connected with under 48 hours. You'll start communicating. And when you do, you'll have these weekly sessions like you would with any therapist where you can decide to do live video chat. You can do voice calls or you can do just live chatting, typing sessions if you want to. So like you would literally just sit in front of your computer and you could type to your therapist. If you feel maybe uncomfortable, some people feel, you know, it's all how we like to communicate, right? So if you're better, I don't like to be seen on camera when I'm doing this. I think it's just my radio days. Like I feel like I can be extremely vulnerable when no one's looking at me, but you know, you put me in front of somebody and I'm like, ugh. So whatever way is right for you, you know, that's going to be the best way. It's by the way, less money than traditional therapy. So hope you'll give it a shot and see what you think. It is BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com, BetterHelp.com/Kramer. Make sure you put /Kramer at the end to get 10% off your first month. BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, BetterHelp.com/Kramer. I hope you will, you know, and try it out. You know, try it out for the month, get the 10% off and see, like, especially when you're in a crisis, I promise you, like, right now I'm just in like working on myself mode and I love it. And hopefully you'll enjoy it as well. Also, Athletic Greens on the podcast today. If you haven't tried Athletic Greens, this could be the solution you're looking for so many different things. It's a daily powder that you take. And I started taking it because of my gut health. My mom started taking it because she wanted to sleep better. And we both saw the benefits pretty quickly, I'd say. Within the first, I mean, I was pretty regular after, I can't remember how long it took, but I mean, a day or two, you know?
Yeah, after the first week, for sure. Yeah,
I started just feeling all the way better. It's 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogen to help start your day out right. And it covers everything from gut health to nervous system, immune system, energy, recovery, focus, and aging. It's really all the things. So it's got like, it's got a little bit of earthy taste to it, but with all that like quality stuff, you know, the fact that you're getting that many vitamins and minerals in one take, I mean, I think it tastes pretty damn good considering, you know, what all you're taking in. It's less than $3 a day, right? And they're professional athletes will recommend this, podcasters like myself. But I don't recommend anything I don't try, I don't like. So I think you'll like it too. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. And all you got to do is go to athleticgreens.com/Kramer. Again, it's athleticgreens.com/Kramer to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. All right. Well, we are down to the wire, certified fans. So really quick, let's start with the good news. We have hundreds of people all over the country to support this show. And that's pretty crazy. To me, that's pretty incredible.
Like,
not a lot
amazing.
Of people can say that we've, you know, I've got a podcast that's supported by people all over the country and hundreds of them, you know, that choose to support it. Like that's, I mean, thousands listen, but hundreds support it. And that's like, that's crazy. You know, if you, if this podcast means something to you, you want to chip in a few bucks a month, it's $6 to become a certified fan. And we're trying to get to 10 certified fans for the month of September. We do not have a new certified fan today. So we are still at 4 new ones for the month.
Okay.
I don't know, Mom. Like our birthday goal this year, I don't know if we're going to hit it, but we're going to fight. We're going to fight, you know, we're going to fight the good fight on this one.
Never give up.
Never give up, Jimmy Mac. So if you want to support us, you know, when you do join, you get a bunch of perks. You join the Facebook page. You get bonus stuff. You get exclusives. You get all the good stuff. When you do, also, you get an episode dedicated to you. And when we don't have somebody that's absolutely new for that day, we'll go back and we'll spin our wheel of certified fans, which we just put everybody's name into the wheel. We spin it, and then we dedicate that show to that person. Because it's always kind of cool to hear. I mean, I like showing love, but I feel like it's always kind of cool to hear your name. Like on stuff like this, you know, just to know that you're much appreciated.
Oh, yeah.
So today is number 68. Wow. Certified fan. This goes back to the sixth. This is the third day. It's Andrea B. That makes me so happy. Andrea B. from San Diego, who is amazing in a lot of different ways. But she's awesome on our certified fans page. She's always got a lot to say.
She's such a great fan member. She is.
You've been here, Andrea, you know, since June the 6th of 2020. So over 2 years. You know, I don't know if you've ever gotten a shout out before, to be honest with you. I should probably keep tally. Just so we know if you've gotten a bonus shout out, because we didn't really do shout outs at first. That was a new thing. My mom did one time, and then we were in trouble after that.
Yeah.
So, Andrea B in San Diego, love you. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Thank you for supporting the show. Here is your whoop whoop.
And she's just had surgery, and I hope she's doing well.
I do too. Yeah. Keep us updated.
Yeah. Whoop whoop to Andrea B.
Yep.
So
absolutely
grateful for you.
Would be awesome to hit our goal. I mean, it really would be awesome. And so if you want to support my
amazing
mom's birthday month, Certified Mama's Boy, text the word fans, F-A-N-S, to 888-Kramer-8. Text the word fans to 888-Kramer-8. Text fans to 888-Kramer-8. And we will be happy to welcome you into what we call the fan fam. Okay?
We would love to have you.
Yep. All right, Mom. That's going to do it for you today. I love you.
Okay, honey. Love you forever.
A moment in Kramer history. Yes, this is a moment in Kramer history. I really want to see if you believe this story today. In case you're new to this, we take a look back on my radio career at some of the ridiculous stuff we used to talk about. Because radio's changed a lot, man. There's things we just can't. We could have gotten away with this one for sure. But look, going back through the archives today, I was like, damn, I still don't believe this story. I still do not believe this story. Not to mention, there is another story about San Diego that appears later on in this segment. So stick around. But listen to this.
All right, hold on to your pants, kids. It's not a true story.
No, can't be true.
I want to introduce you to my future cousin-in-law. This is Shannon's cousin. Hello, Leanne.
Hey.
I'm going to warn you now that this is not true. This is not a true story.
Well, she says
it's
true.
It is true. It's true. Okay, well, number one, just because you don't believe it doesn't mean it's not true. Just because you can't see it on Google doesn't mean it's not true.
I did. Because okay. I did. I Googled this. I mean, I've tried to prove her wrong so many times, but okay, continue.
Just let it be.
Okay, fine. When I was a little girl, I lived in a neighborhood, and this little boy rode my bus, and his last name was Furby.
Oh, my.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, can you spell that?
F-E-R-B. Anyway.
That's a P? That's so crazy.
Anyway, and it's true. His name was Furby. His name was Jonathan the Third Furby.
So he was that the third.
Oh my! So yeah. There had been a long line of the
Furbies. Anyway, and Kramer, let me tell you something. Don't call me a liar, because when I was little, I sold gift wrap, and I walked up to his dad's door. His dad smoked a pop, and then he had to, like, write his name because he bought, like, some kind of gift wrap stuff, and it was Mr. Furby, and he had they had, like, a daughter, and she was a cheerleader, and like at homecoming games, they would be like, let's hear it for Janet Furby.
I don't believe the story. I don't believe the story.
Oh, my God. It has to be true.
It's true. I was like seven. Why would I make that up? Like, what point, what good would it bring me to make up something like that?
Well, let's be honest. You are known in the family to be a bit of an exaggerator. At times. And that's why, I mean, even Shannon and I are both like, this story is not real. I have Googled that last name. I've tried any kind of phonetic spelling. I have tried anything to find this person to prove her wrong, and I cannot find a thing on Google about it.
Well, if you can't find it,
it neither proves nor disproves. Exactly. So I gotta take her side.
Yeah. I can't believe it, man. I can't do it. But let's go ahead and play devil's advocate here for a second, okay? And you guys say that there's a possibility of this being true.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there are stories out there that are so true, but nobody believes them.
Right.
Like, you tell your friends, and they're like, that's not true.
Or they're like, yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
Not really.
Let me ask a question this morning. Is there anybody listening right now that has a story that nobody believes, but you swear is true? Like, no, everyone can really doubt your story, but you're like, look, I promise you, this is a true story. I'm going to give you your chance to come on the air this morning and make it publicly known. Because I feel like if it's on the radio, it's got to be true.
It's a public proclamation at that point.
If you have a story that no one really believes it, like, your friends are kind of like, no, dude. But, like, in your heart of hearts, you know it's true. I want you to call us up, okay? 230-WILN. Lorena.
Yes.
Lorena, you have to swear to us that this is a true story.
I swear to God.
Okay. Tell us. Nobody believes it, though. Everyone has a really hard
no
time
No one believes me. My husband doesn't even believe me.
Okay, tell a story.
Okay, well, I had a dog. She had four puppies. And I was sitting there on the computer, and one of the dogs was choking on the end of a rawhide.
Okay.
And so I was panicking, called the vet, and as I'm talking to the vet, I'm like, the dog has something in its throat, piece of rawhide, it's choking, can I bring the dog in? Yeah. And about that time, I turned around. Goldie had did the Heimlich maneuver on her puppy, and that piece of rawhide shot out of her mouth.
Wait, who did?
I'm guessing that's like with the mother dog.
The mother dog
did the Heimlich maneuver.
Yes, I swear to God.
Look, you know what,
Lorraine?
Mother, wait. Hang on. No, wait.
I swear. Like, what's it? The veterinarian lady laughed at me. Like, what? I said, the dog just did the Heimlich maneuver on her puppy.
And, like, well, explain. What did it look like? You got to explain what it looked like.
I really don't know, because, I mean, all of a sudden she was there and it was out.
But, yeah, why are you laughing so much?
Well, if it's on the radio, it's true.
I swear it is true. A mother dog wants to save her puppy. You don't think he would think of something to do to get the choking object out?
A few different options. And it's like, you know what? The only option I've got is to do the Heimlich maneuver right now.
The dog does not have opposable thumbs to be able.
It put its paws.
She got it out. She literally got that dog and pulled, and it shot out of its mouth.
It jumped on the chest.
Yeah, I mean, literally.
Was it mouth to mouth? I'm just curious how this whole thing went down. So.
Wow. Well, maybe it is true.
But if Lorraine swears it's true, it's got
to
be true.
I swear to God, why would I make something up like that?
Why would I make it up?
We put the stamp of authenticity on
it. This segment has a new name called Why Would I Make That Up?
Yeah. That's it. Why would I make it up?
Okay, I like that. Now, Sabrina, that's the case, right?
I promise it's true.
Then go ahead and preface with, why would I make this up?
Why would I make this up? I would not make this up. We were in San Diego, and my child was only about 2 years old at the time. We were at the San Diego Zoo, and we're standing there admiring the gorillas, and the mama gorilla comes up to the window, and my child's hand is right up against the window, and the mama gorilla puts her hand right up to the window right next to my child.
That really? Happened to me, too!
Shut up, Holly.
I'm not kidding. I have no camera, no footage to prove this. As I tell my child, I said, put your lips up to the window, and he puts his lips up, and no lie, the mama gorilla puts her lips up to my child.
What do your friends say when you say that? They're probably like, come on.
Oh, they don't believe it.
Come on.
What is the chances of the gorilla going to come up with their hands exactly at the place of my child's hand? And then also put the lips up to the child.
That is a cute
0%,
story.
0% chance.
I believe
it happened.
No, I believe you.
Well,
I believe you.
It's on the radio, so it's got to be true, right?
It is definitely true.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
If you've heard that name before, can you call us? I've literally never heard that name. Nor my ex-cousin-in-law, she was quite the exaggerator. And so I still don't know that I believe a story like that. Plus, what do you think about the San Diego Zoo thing? You think that's real? You ever seen a gorilla do that? It's funny listening back. I'm like, wait a minute. I've been there before. I've been there many times. 888-Kramer-8. Call us up. Have a great Wednesday. See you back here tomorrow with a new Ask My Mom.
Okay, that's it for today. Thanks for listening to my son's podcast, Certified Mama's Boy. Be sure to review and subscribe and tell your friends. Love you forever.